This is Show Me Today, the voice of Missouri. I'm Bill Pollack. This is going to be a fun conversation. There's a fruit that is native to Missouri that has a history of helping predict how rough the winter season will be. It's the persimmon. Persimmon trees can be found at the Missouri Botanical Garden, and so can Dr. Emily Warshefsky, an associate scientist at the Botanical Gardens. Emily, nice to speak with you.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me on.
Yeah, we'll talk about the history and the future uses of crops like persimmon, but describe a persimmon to our listener. What does it look like? What does it taste like? Can you eat it?
Sure, yeah. So most people who are listening, if they know what a persimmon is, they're probably familiar with what we call Japanese or Asian persimmon. And these are ones you can buy in the store. They're commercially cultivated around the world. And they're about the size of a large tomato or an apple, something like that. But that's a totally different species from the one that we have that grows wild here in Missouri. And the ones that we have here produce a much smaller fruit. It's about maybe the size of a golf ball at the largest. But both of the fruits turn orange when they're ripe. And for the native ones, you want them to get really, really ripe and soft and fall off the tree on their own so that you know they're ready to eat.
And tell me how this fruit predicts the weather.
Well, the folklore is that if you open up a persimmon that you found growing in your local area, and you take a seed from that and slice into the seed. Now, I will say it's quite difficult. The seeds are pretty hard, so if anyone who's listening wants to give this a try, just be very careful. You slice into the seed and you open it up, and inside you'll see kind of a white jelly, and then in that white jelly there will be a little shape that's kind of the baby plant that's inside the seed. And the shape of that baby plant, and especially the shape of the leaf of it, is thought to help predict the weather of the coming winter. It will be either a knife shape, a spoon shape, or a fork shape.
Well, that's easy enough to figure out. A knife, a spoon, or a fork. And then which ones mean what?
Yeah, so the knife shape is supposed to mean that the winds are going to be very cutting, and so it will be a cold winter. The spoon, you might guess, looks like a shovel. So it is predicting that there will be a lot of snow that year. And then the fork is a little less intuitive, but it's thought to mean a nice, prosperous winter, which would be a warmer year.
Have you ever cut into a spork? Have we ever found a spork?
A spork? That's a good question.
Yeah.
They don't look exactly like the utensils that we use. So you have to have a bit of a creative mindset.
Yeah. We're talking with Dr. Emily Warshefsky, an associate scientist at the Missouri Botanical Garden, who's telling us that the persimmon tree, the persimmon fruit, that if you cut through it, it almost sounds like one of those Christmas gifts where you have one big box, you unwrap that, you open it up, and then there's another box, and you dig down, you keep going down, you finally get to this little part of the persimmon, and the shape of it will tell you the type of winter that we'll have. Now, are these fruit, are they ripe yet? Have you cut into any persimmons?
Yeah, so the fruit are ripe right now. They've been, different trees have been ripening over the past month or so. So I have had the opportunity to cut into a few seeds to see what they, what they're predicting. And, you know, sometimes different seeds will tell you different things, but I seem to see a lot of shovels this year.
All right, so that's actually bad news because that's plenty of snow then.
Well, I mean, I guess it depends on who you're asking.
Well, that's true.
Yep, it does predict a lot of snow.
Yeah. All right, well, that's good. Well, we just had MoDOT on, and they've got a shortage of plow drivers. So that's what I'm. That's why I was thinking this might not be so good for us. Now, do you know, how accurate these are?
You know, like any folklore thing, I think this is all it's something that's fun to think about, and maybe some years it will be right. But
well, let me ask,
I don't know that there's reason. A good scientific basis.
I was going to say, let me ask you this. Is there anybody you know that swears by them? That says, oh, yes, I swear by the persimmon. What the persimmon tells me, then that's how I'm...
No, I haven't run into anybody like that.
All right, Dr. Emily Warshefsky joining us, an associate scientist at the Missouri Botanical Garden. Well, this is fun. This will be interesting to kind of see what happens now. I'm going to... monitor this, and it's the native ones. It's not like the persimmon that you would buy at the store. You've got to get the native persimmon and cut into that. Well, let's talk about the history of persimmons and other native crops to us, and the history of them, and then we'll talk a little bit more about the future and what role they've played here.
That sounds great.
What can you tell? Because persimmons, they've been here for what I'm assuming a long time if they're native to Missouri, right?
Yeah. So this species that we have here in Missouri can be found. The western boundary is kind of up to the Rocky Mountains and down to Texas, and then to the east it goes all the way to Connecticut and down to Florida. So most of the eastern United States. And it's been here probably for longer than people have, including Native Americans, I would guess. And so people have a long history of using it for various things. Native Americans, there's reports from when the first European colonists and settlers came, they wrote about Native Americans using persimmon in bread mixed with cornmeal and drying the fruit like we would with apricots or plums that we turn into prunes. And then they also made something they called kind of a cake, but it was really kind of like a thick fruit roll-up. So they'd mash all the pulp together and turn it into this dried, fruity, chewy substance.
Hmm. You and a group of I'm sorry, go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead.
Oh, no, that's okay. And I was just going to then say, Europeans came and they integrated persimmon into some of their own foods, like pies and puddings, and then also started to make beer and wine using persimmons.
They probably came over from Germany. They're probably the German settlers that found a way to turn persimmons into beer.
That would make sense, I guess.
Yeah. Dr. Emily Warshefsky joining us from the Missouri Botanical Garden. Now, you and a group of your colleagues are working on a project using persimmons and some other wild crops, plums, walnuts, that type of stuff. Talk about this project that you're working on and kind of looking towards the future of agriculture.
Yeah, this is a really exciting project that we've started where we're looking at fruit and nut trees that are native to North America. And some of these species, like, say, pecans, have been domesticated here and are actually originally from here. The ones that you buy in the store are the same thing that we have in North America. And others, like some of the wild apple species we have, are more distant relatives to the things we might buy in the store and what's grown commercially. But all of these species are really important to the future of agriculture because they, as wild species, grow in different environments and have different characteristics that might help us improve our food species. And especially in in the case of trees, this is really important because some people might know a lot of tree species that we grow are they're grown using a process called grafting, where you take the roots of one individual and the top of another individual, and you kind of meld them together into one plant. So they're kind of these Frankenstein-like trees, then, two individuals in one. And you can use some of these wild species for that root part of the tree, and that might help the tree tolerate, you know, cold or different pests and diseases that are found in the soil. So the project that we're working on is trying to understand the diversity that we have conserved of these Native American tree species, and work on improving our conservation of these species so that we know we'll have diversity for the future of agriculture.
This sounds like quite an undertaking. This is going to take a while.
It is going to take a while, and we're in the beginning stages, but we're very excited. This is a group, the project has support from the U.S. Botanic Garden, along with an organization called Botanic Gardens International, Botanic Gardens Conservation International, and it's also, I'm working with folks from the San Diego Botanic Garden. And we have pulled together a large group of people from around the country who are interested in this project. We have over 75 different scientists and researchers from places like the USDA and botanic gardens and universities that are all focused on these species and working towards conserving them, because it's not something we can do with just a single institution or a single researcher.
Dr. Emily Warshefsky is an associate scientist at the Missouri Botanical Garden. And we've had on Show Me Today, we've had people from MU Extension and Conservation on the show. And we've talked about, we talked about grafting, as you had described, and invasive species. How do those trees and shrubs that have been brought over from Asia, how will that affect your studies, and how is that affecting our native trees?
Sure, yeah. The species we're focusing on are all native to North America, but there are, of course, you know, people are bringing plants wherever they go. They like to bring plants with them. And so you do get a problem with invasive species. Those aren't the focus of our research, but actually the species that are brought over and introduced here that are more related to what we're working on are these cultivated species. So, for example, going back to persimmon, we in the U.S. grow Japanese or Asian persimmon in California for the U.S. market. And so our native North American species could be a really helpful resource for breeding or for use in grafting for these Asian varieties. And that's true with other things like apples and grapes and a number of these other species that we have here in North America.
Yeah, and what I was thinking is, do those invasive trees, do they threaten our native trees? Do they threaten pecans and walnuts and persimmons?
That's a good question. I don't know of any specific examples of a threat, but when you have a really severe invasive species, you know, they grow so densely a lot of times they will force out and crowd out any other native plants. So I'm sure that there are some examples of that happening, although I can't think of a specific one right now.
Dr. Emily Warshefsky with the Missouri Botanical Garden, doing some great work. And, well, thanks for filling us in. According to the persimmon, it looks like we're going to get plenty of snow. So we'll see if that holds true. I really appreciate your time. Thanks for sharing.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. This was a lot of fun.
This is Show Me Today, the Voice of Missouri.